Yo, 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 what's going on? What's going on, everybody? Pastor LaMarcus here with another episode of On Your Mark. Man, I'm so excited to be getting on our marks together again today as we open up a new series on the On Your Mark podcast called On Time God. Now, listen, if you've been paying attention to our normal services at Unique Life Church, you know we've been already into this series. But man, I just felt like it was so much information with this idea of an on time God. And by on time, I mean, quote, on time God. It was just so much information. I felt like, man, if we added a little bit of supplemental info or some other things outside of the actual sermon, that it would be really beneficial. And I had a brother who was near and dear to me come and say, hey, man, this might be a good idea to, or a good opportunity to add a few more things in with the podcast. So here we are and here we go. On time, God. Today I want to do something simple, man. I just want to introduce us to this idea of what it means to have an on time God. The first thing we have to understand is God is not bound by time. He is above time. He is on top of time. He is all time. The Bible describes God creating the earth, and it says that, it says that in the beginning, God, what that's letting us know is before time was, God was, and God created us in time, and he created time for us so that he could maneuver us towards the things he has for us as we continue to grow and develop in time. We're going to dive into all of it. We're going to get really, really deep into the crevices of what it really means. But for our purposes today, I want to get us to really stop for a moment and think about what it means to have an on time God. I use the illustration of the song, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He is an on time God. Yes, he is. And that is true. That is very true. But the reason it's so true is because God's already there. Like, he's literally there waiting on us. He is above time. He is not subject to time in the sense that we are. If I could give a little bit of an illustration to this, and I'm going to really be coming from the thoughts and ideas of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." Now, I like the English Standard Version of this particular verse because in my mind, it better highlights what's actually going on here. For everything, there is a season, all right? And then a time for every matter under the earth. In other words, there are seasons and then there are times. There are seasons and then there are times. Now, you can be in your season and it still not be time. Or it might be time, but you're out of season. So we have to marry these things up. The way I've explained this is there is time, there is timing of the time, and then there's time of the timing. There is time or the season. There is an overall time or season when things are more likely, when things are ready, when things can happen. Then there's the timing of the time. That's us preparing ourselves in time so that we're ready for the season. Then there's a time of the timing. That is when it all comes together, we've developed, we've gotten everything we need, and now we're walking in the fullness of what God has for us. The reason we need to think about it that way is because if we don't think about it that way, we will fool around and have ourselves sitting here praying and believing for something from God and be in season. And then we'll be frustrated because it's not time. So how do we distinguish between the two? How do we understand how to work within that? Let me give you a little bit of an illustration that might be a little bit more close to home. My wife and I, we travel a good bit. We travel with our kids. We've driven them all over the place. We've gone different places. We've flown different places. But there is a popular refrain when you are taking a road trip with your children. You get in the car, you've been in the car every bit of 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, you're just getting started. And then sure enough, you hear this ringing in your ear. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. We just got started. But if you could think about it for a second, it seems as though the younger we are, the harder of a concept or the more difficult the concept of time is. You can tell your kid, hey, I need y'all to be patient. We're about to hop in this car. It's about a 3-hour journey. It's about a 6-hour ride. It's about a 4.5-hour trip. So just be patient. Understand. We'll let you know when we get close. But for right now, we're just riding. And it hadn't been 15 minutes and they start. There it is again. Are we there yet? You tell, nope, we're not there yet. Give us a minute. You ride 5 more minutes. Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. But I think this very accurately portrays the idea of how we see time versus how time really is. And I know we're talking about kids and traveling in the car, but the truth of the matter is, this is how we behave with God. Like we're constantly asking God, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? And God is like, I am trying to develop you for when it is time. I am trying to get you to a place so that when it's time, you can handle what I have in front of you. I am trying to get you mentally prepared. I'm trying to get you spiritually prepared. I'm trying to lay out everything for you so that when you get to the place and it is in fact time, you won't be overwhelmed. You won't be stressed out. You won't be frustrated. You won't be mad. Because if we're honest, a lot of times we want things way before it's time. We want the stuff because we think I can handle it now. And I need us to understand the way God views time versus the way we view time. Now, follow me for a second here. God is on time, on top of time, above time, not measured or not garnered. He's not restricted by time. He's not limited by, he is on top of time. So when we talk about time versus when God talk about time, we're talking about different things. We have to understand the differences between time, timing, and the time of the timing, or the time of the, or the timing of the time. We have to be able to understand those things. So right off the bat, when God talks about time, he's not talking about 3:30 p.m. in the evening. He's not talking about 8 a.m. in the morning. Very rarely when we hear time from a biblical standpoint or from a spiritual standpoint, is it pointing to a specific time in the day or a specific time in the night? I'll give you proof of that. We don't even have standard time across the world. If it is 4 o'clock here, it is 6 o'clock somewhere else. If it is 7 o'clock somewhere else, it is 4 o'clock here. We don't even have standard time. So how do we measure something that is not standardized with God at the same time we're asking for a standard time from God? It is different. We have to understand our idea of time and God's idea of time are two completely different things. Therefore, if we understand that first, now we can stop thinking our timing is his timing, and then we can stop for a second and then just try to find out from him what his timing actually is, and then we can go with that. Let me give you another little idea or breakdown of what I mean when I say that. When God talks about time, God is talking about season. He's talking about what we call the Greek word kairos. He's talking about the overall timing, when something is right, when the timing is right. He's not talking about a specific time in the day. He's not talking about 24 hours in a day. He's not talking about 7 days in a week. He's not talking about 30 or 31 days in a month, 365 days in a year. That's not what he means. He's talking about when it is the time, when it's the right time. So he's speaking from a seasonal standpoint, when it's the season for a certain thing. But when we talk about time, we typically mean tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. I need that thing locked and loaded. I need that thing ready to go. I need it in my hand. I need to receive that blessing. So we have to stop to understand, okay, all right. What does God mean when he says time? And again, he's speaking from a kairos or a seasonal standpoint. We tend to speak from a chronological or chronos or chronological standpoint, linear time throughout the day, 24 hours a day. We got to understand that's not how God operates. That's not what he's looking at. So when God says, I'm waiting for the right time, he's not looking at a calendar. He's not looking at a watch. He's looking at a season when you're prepared and ready to walk in the things that he has for you. With that understanding, oh my goodness, with that understanding, it completely alters the way we need to approach things. And here's another thing we have to understand. God is not waiting for us to get to a specific time or day. He's not waiting for Thursday at 4 p.m. He's not waiting for that to bless us. God is saying, I have the blessings already ready and prepared for you. I've already distributed those things. What I'm waiting for is for you to come into the season. What season is that, God? A season of trust, a season of faith, a season of devotion, a season where you're sold out to me. I'm waiting for your heart to be so knit to mine that whatever it is I am putting out there, whatever it is I'm asking, wherever it is I'm directing, you're locked in, you are moving, and you're going according to my command. Now you're ready. Now it's time. I'm telling you guys, man, when we figure out how God views timing versus how we view timing, then everything shifts, everything changes, everything lines up. We have to see it that way. Otherwise, you're going to be sitting in your closet. You're going to be sitting in your home. You're going to be sitting in your car, and you're going to be frustrated because in your mind, it's time. And what you mean by time is, I should have gotten this yesterday. I should have gotten this earlier today. I should have gotten this a week ago. I should have got this promotion a year ago. I should have overcome this situation a month ago. You're going to be so busy focusing on chronological time or linear time that you will fool around and miss the seasonal time that God is looking at. So what we need to do is learn how to develop in season. I want to use, if I could, and again, if you're interested in a little bit more in-depth or not necessarily in-depth, but just more information around this, go follow our sermon series, On Time God, because I talk about a lot of this in there. But I want to talk a little bit about Abraham when he was called to go up to sacrifice Isaac. The Bible recalls that God told Abraham, this was after Abraham was called to leave his father and his mother and his kindred and go to a land where God would show him. Abraham is, for all intents and purposes, he's a nomad. He's out there on his own, having to rely and trust in God. And God told him, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I'm going to give you a son, man. There you're going to be blessed. Man, I'm going to do all this cool stuff for you. You just got to trust me and you got to go. And Abraham is going, and wouldn't you know, that Abraham is like, well, hold on. You said I was going to have a son. No son. Hold on. You promised me I was going to have a son. No son. I mean, this went on for some 25 years after he had been promised the son. Because, again, in our mind, if we've been given a word from God and we're holding on to something from God, we might be thinking from a linear standpoint. And Abraham is like, hey, this should have happened. Why don't I have this yet? And God is saying, no. From a season, when the right time comes in the season, then it's going to happen. And after 25 years, Abraham and Sarah have the son. Abraham, like, finally, the son of the promise. He's here. He's right here. And then God says, yeah, now I need you to bring him back to me. This narrative in the Bible is so fascinating because of how it all turns out. For our purposes today, I want to show you something that I think really stands out as it relates to time that I believe will help us align ourselves in chronological time with God's seasonal time so that they can both meet and we can get the things that God has called us to. Here's the thing. God calls Abraham to take his son up the mountain that he was going to show him and sacrifice him to him there, which there's a whole nother interesting thing there because God doesn't do child sacrifice and all that. And I want to be careful here because I don't have time to dive into it. But the point of the matter is God is doing something in our heart and with faith to show so that we can show ourselves and see where our heart and where our faith really lies. But he's calling Abraham to take his son. Abraham goes with his some of the guys that work with him. He tells them, y'all stay here. Me and the boy going up the mountain. We're going to worship. It's one of the first time. It is the first time we see the context of worship in the Bible. And what's really unique there is it says worship, but what Abraham was really doing was going to obey what God had called him to do. I think that is so important and we can't miss that. When we start thinking about the idea of our timing coming together with God's timing, the number one thing that's going to make those things meet is this: obedience. Worship, honoring God by doing what he's called us to do. And here Abraham is going up the mountain to, watch this, worship, to obey God, to do what God has called him to do. That's what's going to make the times meet. That's what's going to make our chronological time and God's overarching seasonal time come together so we can walk into things that he has for us. Really interesting narrative. Abraham goes up the mountain. Isaac notices that they don't have everything for the sacrifice. There's a lot of really neat and unique things that are taking place there because I can see so much there. It looks to me, based on Isaac's response and Abraham's response, that this is not the first time Isaac has been involved with the situation where he and his son are going to worship. This is not the first time they've built an altar together, made a sacrifice together, because Isaac notices, like, hold on for a minute. I see everything we need for the sacrifice except the lamb. And Abraham says something so profound. He said, God will provide himself a lamb. God is going to do this. So they're up there. They're preparing. Abraham has tied Isaac down to the altar and is ready to bring the knife down to sacrifice him. And God calls out to him from the angels and tells him, hold on, do your son no harm. He calls him twice. Abraham, Abraham, don't harm your son. Look over in the thicket. There is caught a ram in the bush. And this is where we get our great sayings, man. God will be a ram in a jam. God, there's a ram in the bush. God will come through. Watch this. God will come through right in the nick of time. But here's where I need us to stop for a moment and do a little critical thinking. Where was the ram? The ram was up in the thicket, in the bush. Watch this. Where God told Abraham to go. That's so important. Remember, go to a mountain that I will show you. It is so important that we understand if we want to make our timing and God's timing meet, the thing we have to do is be where God told us to be. He went up the mountain. He was doing what God called him to do. He was obeying God. God stopped him in his tracks to show him, because of your obedience, the time is now. Where is the blessing? Where is the sacrifice? Where is the things that God has called us to? They are right there up on the mountain of the Lord. They are there. And that's the first thing I want us to really see from this, man, is that it is right there up on the place where God told us to be. We cannot miss that. We don't need to neglect that. We don't need to miss that, because that is the part that is the first part that is so vitally important. We have to be where God has called us to be. In other words, we need to obey. We need to obey God and do what he's called us to do. If God, listen, you're going to get, if you are married, you are going to get frustrated in your marriage. It is going to happen. It is going to happen. What do? Well, we keep obeying God. We do what he's called us to do. And guess what you're going to think? You're going to think, this ain't right. I don't have time for this. This don't make sense. We should have overcome this by now. It's time for us to be further. Like, all the stuff that's dealing with chronological time, we're going to be throwing out to God. And God is going to be looking right back at us saying something like this. Yep, when it is time. In my timing, in my seasonal time, what I need you to do is to grow and develop and obey so that you can move from the chronological time or linear time to my seasonal time, where I am unleashing, or where I have unleashed all the blessings for you. It is so important that we get where God called us to be, that we get where God called us to be. Remember, go to the mountain that I will show you. What is God? Where's God calling you to? Where is he? Is he calling you to deeper devotion? Is he calling you to deeper prayer? Is he calling you to some forgiveness? Is he calling you to stop being so frustrated at things that you can't control? What I wonder is God calling you to? And I think that's so important, because we'll be sitting still. Hear me. We'll be sitting still, not where God has called us, but then frustrated because it's not our time yet. No, your timing is going to be based on you obeying and getting where God told you to be. But here's the other point to that I want to mention. We got to get where God is calling us to in our devotion life, in our prayer life, in our marriages, with our children, on our jobs. We need to beware. If you're on that job and you're frustrated because you think you should be promoted, you're frustrated because you think you know more, you're frustrated because you think it's not going as fast, beware. God has told you to be doing the things that God has called you to do. That'll help. But here's the other part, because again, it has to meet. When you think about Abraham and Isaac up on that mountain, and God stopped Abraham and said, hey, do your son no harm. There is a ram in the thicket. There's a ram in the jam. There he is right there waiting for you. I thought about that because I grew up in the country, and I understand kind of patterns of wildlife and things like that. If you ever go hunting, you know how quiet you have to be, or because the animals can hear you way before you can hear them. They can sense you way from afar off. So there's certain things you have to do. And I thought this interesting because Abraham was where God called him to be. He went to the mountain. He obeyed to be in the place and in the spot that God had called him to be in. But not just that. If you go back and if you're familiar with the narrative, if you go back and you look at the narrative, you'll also understand that God told him when to go. He didn't just say where. He told him, well, hey, I need you to go and I need you to sacrifice your son on the mountain. And then the Bible says that Abraham got up early the next morning. He didn't delay. He didn't hold off. He didn't wait. He was quick to do what God had called him to do. So not only is it important that you are where God has told you to be, it's also important that you are there when God calls you to be there. It is important that you are where God told you to be, and it's important that you are there when he calls you to be there. The reason that's so important, because if you understand wildlife, you understand if Abraham and Isaac were too soon, if they were too soon, the ram would have never gotten close enough to get caught in the thicket. If they were too late, it would have been too late for the ram, because he would have been there too long and he would have already died, and it wouldn't have been useful for the sacrifice. And the reason I'm bringing that point out is because I need us to understand, when it comes to lining up our chronological or linear time with God's overarching seasonal time, we need to be where he's called us to be, and we need to be when he's called us to be. I'm gonna say that again. We need to be where he's called us to be, and we need to be when he's called us to be. We need to be obedient enough to go where God has called us to, but we also don't need to delay. Let me say something about the delay for a minute. The reason the when is so important is because we have to stop waiting until we feel like we are ready. We have to stop waiting until we feel like we get all the answers we need. We have to stop waiting until we feel like we got it all. No, when God calls us to a place, the obedience is to get in that place, or the where, and the obedience is to move when God calls us to move. We have to move when God calls us to move. My grandmother used to say it like this: we got to learn to strike when the iron is hot. We got to learn to move when the fire is burning. We got to learn to go when God is calling. Because if God is calling us to a place at a specific time, then the reason he's calling us there is because there is a where and there is a when. There is a time we need to maneuver. Listen, I don't know if you guys are big into investments and things of that nature, but there was a time, believe it or not, there was a time when Bitcoin was $100, and then there was a time when it was only $1,000. There was a time when it was $10,000. There was a time when it was $20,000. Now that it's over $100,000, now that it's over $100,000, listen, you can still buy in. You can still buy in. But the time to buy in was when it was $100, when it was $1,000, when it was $10,000. Now it's so high now, it's so overpriced, or if I can call it that, that if you buy now, you may still win out, but you won't win out like you would have if you got it when it was $1,000. The reason I use that illustration is there are times when we have to learn the when is important, right? Hey, God laid on your heart, you're married, God said, listen, I need you to go and apologize to your spouse. I need you to go and forgive your spouse. I need you to go and say this to your spouse. And then we pout and we drag our feet and we hold on and we wait. Listen, it is important that we do what God calls us to. But God is calling us to do it in a time that matters, because the when is important as well. And when we do it when God says, it has maximum impact. It has maximum effectiveness and efficiency when we do it when God is calling. I can't tell you how many times that God has laid somebody on my heart and then I move in that time. I've literally text people or call people, hey, how you doing? How you feeling? And it's like, how did you know? How did I know what? I'm just leaving the doctor's office, or I just got this word from the doctor, or I just got this call. Because the when matters. And if you don't move when God calls you to move, then all of a sudden the effectiveness of it is lessened. You're not getting the same impact. So one of the things we have to learn, again, where is so important. We have to be where God has called us to be. The when is important as well. We have to move when God calls us to move. When we do that, now all of a sudden, our linear time, our chronological time marries together with God's overarching seasonal time. And now we get to see the blessings of the Lord right here, right now, in real time, what we call real time, because he'll be hitting us with it right then. I'm telling you, that is so important. I need you to remember these two things: where and when. We need to be where God has called us to, when God has called us to, and then our chronological and our linear time will link up and marry up with his overarching time, so that we get to walk in the fullness of the blessing. Because I am telling you, he is an on-time God. He is not waiting to bless us. He is already pouring out the blessings. He is waiting for us to be where he's called us to be, when he's called us to be there. And as we are there, when we are there, where we're supposed to, we will see and receive all the blessings of the Lord he has for us. Man, I'm telling you, he is an on time God. Man, I can't wait to continue this series with you guys. I believe the Lord is going to unveil and unleash some really, really important principles into our hearts and into our lives as we continue to move. And if you don't get anything else just out of this first podcast, or this first series as we're doing in this series, this first episode in this series, if you don't get anything else, please, please, please understand that our idea of time and God's idea of time is completely different. What we have to do is to make sure we understand God's idea of time and get on time with him, so that we can walk in all the fullness of the blessings that he has for us. Man, listen, I pray that something has been said today that'll be a blessing to you. We're going to continue in this vein. We're going to continue to unleash and talk more and more and more about what it means to be on time with an on time God as we continue to go forward. We're going to make sure we be where God has called us to be, when God has called us to be there, so that we can walk in the fullness of his blessings. Again, I pray something's been said that'll be a blessing to you. Can't wait to get on our marks on the next episode. Until then, know that I'm thinking about you. Know that I am praying for you. God bless you. God keep you. And I love you.